am the social justice coordinator here at First Unitarian Church, and I want to welcome you this afternoon to this very special occasion. Hopefully this is the first of many celebrations of Transgender Day of Remembrance here at First Unitarian Church of Alton. This is a day of remembrance of lives taken by cruelty, violence, and hatred, but it's also a celebration of holiness. To be holy is defined simply to, and very basically, as the process of becoming whole, of becoming that person that completes our being. And I would hope that that is a description of what it means to take the transgender journey, to ultimately enter the process, to journey, to become the person that we are called to be. I believe that transgender persons have a unique spiritual window to the divine and the transcendent, God, if you will. In my estimation, God exists in that realm between male and female and is the embodiment of what it means to be omnigender or all gender. We here at First Unitarian Church of Alton are a group of seekers who rejoice in the presence of all creation, male, female, transgender, not because it is the progressive thing to do, but because this is what we are called to do by the universe, the transcendent, God, to become. I'd like to end this short introduction with a small prayer. Mother, Father, God, we thank you for the presence of transgender people in our community. We thank you for the lessons of change and transformation that we can learn from. Help us to find peace of mind as we struggle to embrace change in our own lives. Let us be open to spiritual growth and revelations that we can find by allowing ourselves to transform. We will use these insights to deepen our connection to each other and to the transcendent. Thank you for being here today, and now I'd like to introduce the president of our congregation and the facilitator of our Transgender Day of Remembrance, Sayer Johnson.
I just want to thank everybody for coming. We're going to start off today with a couple of personal narratives from members of the church. We're going to start with Mandan.
Just hit the space bar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently Bill Gates is not an ally.
This would be Linus Torvald. So sorry.
It's okay.
There we go. Just had to get them in the right sequence. Or maybe not. One more back there, isn't there? Yep. There we go.
Well,
always been paralyzed by fear. For some people, feeling pressured or facing something that makes them fearful ignites a fire in them that pushes them to just get it over with and put their mind at ease. Not for me. When something makes me scared, I become stagnant. This is apparent in every part of my life. While going to school, when I felt like my workload was too much or was overwhelming me, instead of digging in, I would do nothing. Usually this ends up in small fears becoming giant fears, which makes it even harder to deal with the things that are giving me anguish. All of this fear has kept me from living a happy, healthy, and authentic life. My childhood was a constant tug and pull of trying to keep everyone happy, always making compromises between boy things and girl things. I actually consider myself fairly lucky that I was allowed to shop in the boys' section for clothes at all. I can thank my father for this. He has always been an advocate for just letting me get what I wanted. This meant that when I became old enough, I preferred to shop with my father over my mother. There were battles lost and battles won, leaving me with a mixture of girls' and boys' clothes. Boys were the same way. My closet consisted of Cabbage Patch dolls, Barbies, a creepy crawler machine, and G.I. Joes. I don't think you have to guess which toys stayed in the closet and which ones I spent most of my time with. Though the toy I spent the most amount of time with was the doll, my buddy. I lived vicariously through him. He gave me the chance to take on a masculine persona at a very early age. I love writing his name down instead of mine. I still have a few books that say this book belongs to Buddy Kirk. Interacting with others during my childhood seemed fairly easy. When I played dress up or pretend with friends, it didn't seem to faze them that I would just wear Snow White's cape and pretend to be the prince. I also had a friend, Holly, who was just like me. We were interested in the same things and we were inseparable. Our parents, I think for the most part, thought it was fine that we were a couple of tomboys, thinking that someday we would both grow out of it. Then puberty came. It hit almost everyone else first. I thought I had escaped it. I maintained my slim boyish physique well into my freshman year of high school. When puberty finally had its way with me, it was devastating. It also became very apparent that the social dynamic between peers had changed and that I needed to protect myself from harm. Classmates whispering about how I was probably a lesbian wasn't going to fly. I put my friendship with Holly to an end and spent the remainder of my high school years faking crushes on boys and trying to fit in. It is important to mention that a large part of my childhood that I haven't mentioned yet is the extremely conservative Christian upbringing that had shaped the way I was viewing the world up until this point. We all, for the most part, know what I'm talking about. Youth group every Sunday night, I was president after all. Church camp, mission trips, and everything else that goes along with it. This brings me to the 3 to 4 years post high school, the years I kind of think of as the dark ages. While I had been a bit of a rebel in high school, the first few years after high school, I gave rebellion a new name. The confusion about my sexuality and my inability to ever really feel connected to the faith community I was so wrapped up in came to a head. There was therapy, antidepressants, and more therapy. It ended in a very emotionally charged conversation with my parents where I told them I was gay. During this conversation, I also assured them I was not transgendered, something that seems extremely ironic now. A week after coming out, I met my spouse, Heather, and now we've been together for over 7 years. Gaining Heather's support and meeting some amazing butches has allowed me to embrace my masculinity and to finally see it as a positive instead of a negative. For a long time, it was just so exciting and comforting to be able to dress in the clothes I wanted to and be with the person I wanted to, that it seemed like enough. Coming from an upbringing where being gay was so taboo, I had very little education or experience with the LGBT community until I sought after it. It took some educating for me to be able to separate my sexuality from my gender. Becoming a part of the community has given me access to resources and exposed me to things that would eventually help me find my place. Every resource or exposure to a trans man has been like a dim light gradually getting brighter, showing me the possibilities of what my life can be like. That there are other people like me. They've been on the journey I'm beginning. They have faced their fears and are happier and healthier people for it.
So that she can put her.
Just dim it.
Right here. Like this. Okay. All right, here's Stacy.
I was asked if I could tell my story. Well, I'm not sure I actually have a story. I know it definitely doesn't have an ending yet, happy or sad. I was about 4 years old when I knew something was different. I didn't really know what it was, but I didn't want to stand out and be different, so I hid it. I didn't really know what it was, but I did fairly well until puberty hit. Puberty is hard on children, but when your body starts to change the opposite way you feel, it's worse than normal. I figured that's why trans children have such a high suicide rate. I never could take my own life, but I went on a self-destructive path that took myself and my parents into some very dark times. I tried to overcompensate and be a man. What I ended up doing was fighting all the time and secretly wishing that someone would put me out of my misery. All this time, still not really knowing what was wrong with me or why I like girls' clothing so much. But I felt there was no way I could share my secret. I got caught at my grandparents' house, and they were very understanding. I got teased some, but never in a hurtful way. My grandpa used to call me Clinger, for those of you who remember MASH. And they helped me keep it hidden from my parents, because they were afraid they wouldn't understand. So their house became a haven, and I stayed with them every weekend, and it was my escape. And this got me through my teenage years. Then we had the invention of the internet, and guess what? I'm not alone. And with the anonymity of the internet, I don't have to face any real people either. So I self-diagnose what I can deal with. I'm a cross-dresser. I started the purging cycle of buying clothes and throwing them in dumpsters and donation boxes whenever I felt guilty or ashamed of myself, to turn around a few months later and just buy all new clothes while complaining how I could never find the dress that I used to have that I threw away. I still want most of them back. While doing this purging cycle, I have failed relationships after failed relationship. Mainly because I make bad choices. I look for relationships where I have someone to save, mainly because I feel I can't be helped, and at least if I'm broken, I can fix someone else. My dressing fluctuates accordingly to these failed attempts. After almost losing my wife to my temper and constant anger, and after the birth of our son, I broke down and told her that I was pretty sure I was a cross-dresser. And that I'm not as angry after I get to dress up, but that the guilt is killing me and the desire to dress is getting stronger. At first, she seemed to take it well, a little shocked, but not as bad as I expected. But then the anger set in and the feelings of betrayal, which I deserved for not being honest in the beginning and too honest about in the end. So I go to my first therapist. After talking to the therapist, I asked her, what's wrong with me? She said nothing was wrong with me, that I had a condition known as GID, or gender identity disorder. And little research had been done, but it is thought to be like a birth defect, and that approximately 1 in 13,000 people have it. And those numbers can only be counted by those people who seek help. I ended this session with a question. I asked, "So I'm a crossdresser, right?" She smiled and said, "No, hon, you're a transsexual." And I was devastated. My whole world and identity that I was just started to accept turned my whole world upside down. And I left in tears. You may be wondering, what is the big deal between two words that seemingly mean the same thing? Well, they are very different. And the definitions as they were explained to me, which I will use the male to female definitions. A crossdresser is a person who is male most of the time, but has an active feminine side and likes to express it every now and then to relieve stress, but is quite happy with being male at the end of the day. A transsexual, on the other hand, is more to do with brain chemistry and feeling cheated that you were born the wrong gender. And at the end of the day, you would really prefer to be the other gender. So you can see with this realization and knowing that what she said was right, how your whole world can get turned upside down by one little definition. The next few sessions, I was still having issues with being a transsexual. So she decided to do a little test. She sent me to an endocrinologist and sent him a letter. She told me she was going to ask him to put me on low-dose estrogen to see how it affected me. She didn't tell me how or what I would feel, just wanted my reaction to it. After the first pill, it was like total peace. No more warring in my mind. Just a complete and total calm. My mind had never been quiet before. I had never been able to sit quietly and enjoy it before. And that was the proof. If I had been a crossdresser, I would have felt nothing or maybe a little funny. But being a transsexual, my brain functions better with the right hormone in my body. I've seen two more therapists since then, and all three have given me the same diagnosis. Since then, I've gone on full hormone replacement therapy. I've been on it now for almost 3 years. I may never fully transition because I have three children, and I don't want to cause them unnecessary problems. But for the two that live with me, they will know who and what I am. But for my children and me, I'll be gender fluid for now and always be somewhere in the middle of the gender spectrum. I've learned that you suffer a lot more hiding something than if you face up to it. And so now I'm standing here in front of you all facing up to it. About 2 months ago, I saw a quote by George Washington Carver at the St. Louis Botanical Gardens. It said, "No individual has any right to come into the world and go out of it without leaving behind him distinct and legitimate reasons for having passed through it." I thought it was powerful, but I didn't know how it affected me until I was asked to tell my story. You see, being transgender is not a conscious choice. If it were, I'm pretty sure no one would choose to live this way. I know growing up in a Christian church, transgender people were going to hell if we didn't change our ways. But hell can't be much worse than the fear, rejection, and ridicule we deal with. A lot of transgender people I've met have been too scared to tell anyone, afraid to have friends in fear that they might find out, afraid to seek medical or psychological help, afraid to see a doctor for checkups, and many other common tasks that people take for granted every day. And if we cannot accept ourselves, then how can we expect other people to accept us? Even in the LGBT community, some can't understand why we hate being stuck in the body we were born in. It's through programs like this one that open-minded people can come and learn about the community of people who just want so badly to be respected and accepted for who we are. So please don't judge us on how we dress. Get to know the person inside, for that's where our true beauty shines.
baseball.
It's a baseball. Okay.
Flooded in life, in the fine print they tell me what's wrong and what's right, and it comes in black and it comes in white, and I'm frightened by those who don't see it, where nothing is owed, deserved, or expected. And your life doesn't change by the man that's elected. If you're loved by someone you're never rejected, decide what to be and go be it. Tell you what's wrong and what's right, and it flies by day and it flies by night, and I'm frightened by those who don't see. There was a dream that one day I could see it, like a bird in a cage. I'm
Reflecting on my journey, I'm filled with an overwhelming sense of gratitude. I've been supported with so much love. People around me have had their own processes to work, wrap their heads around my coming out, but so often, what I would hear is, how can I support you? I think the most delicate balance has been with my children. My oldest was 8 when I began to socially transition, and my River was 6, and my Lyric was just a babe. I was firmly in my identity as mommy, and I wondered how they would weather this transition. Sharon led the way, using male pronouns before it was easy, before my first shot of testosterone. She was the captain of our ship, and she set the tone. I had a few friends who really stepped up and led the charge with affirming language. Their support was unconditional, and their acceptance and process was done away from me. My maid family asked me how they could support. I decided language. Language is so vital and important to the coming out process. Hearing the correct pronoun and names come out of the mouths of my loved ones reinforced my journey. And often hearing my loved ones use old pronouns and old names felt like a sting. It would and does make me feel like they can't truly see me for who I am. So my friends step up. I say, help me help my kids. Call me Poppy. They did. And within weeks, Mommy disappeared. As T took over, it became easier for folks to use the correct name and pronoun. When Lyric was little, a little over a year, she would call me Poppy, but then her own little sly way would turn around, almost to catch me and say, Mommy? Like she was just making sure, or maybe just keeping me in check. The big kids rolled with it. We talked about doing things that traditional gender roles allowed. My son and I started talking about father and son activities that we could do. It seemed really positive, and the kids were happy for me. I knew that one of the stressors early on was that my voice was going to change, and they seemed most concerned with that. On my therapist's advice, I took them to Build-A-Bear, and they each built a bear amidst our fun day out. I took each bear aside and went over in the corner and recorded in my still female voice, Devin, Mommy loves you, and I did the same for River. My voice evolved, and the babies, for the most part, stopped talking about it. Early on in my transition, I was eating lunch at River School with second graders, and I was sitting at the table with about 10 7- and 8-year-olds. The questions began. You River's mommy or daddy? I'm River's Poppy. So you're his daddy? Yes. Are you a boy? Are you a girl? River chimes in. He's transgender. Blank stares. My cousin, a little girl pipes up, is a boy, but he acts like a girl. He even wears makeup. Oh, that's nice. That little girl sitting next to me says, when I close my eyes and listen to you, I hear River's mommy. Then I open my eyes and wow, it's River's daddy. The kids all agree and continue on with their lunch. That really sums up the love. I worry about bullying and what could happen. We all just try to keep an open dialogue and love each other through it. So far, so good. I'm lucky to have such a supportive network and a supportive church. I'm grateful and hopeful, and I feel a deep responsibility to continue to live visibly and authentically. The amazement was not lost on me as I sat in my family room just a few weeks ago and watched Chaz Bono strut his stuff on Dancing with the Stars. I was able to say, Chaz is trans, just like Poppy. It was the first time in my lifetime that a statement about someone on TV was possible, at least someone like me. For the first time in my life, for the first time in our life, it's an amazing time to be who I am. It's an amazing time to be visible and authentic. I am grateful to live here and to be out and to help people in our movement move forward. I think in order for me to even ponder faith, I needed to have faith in myself, and I didn't for so long, and then with my journey, it sort of started to come to be, and it opened my heart in so many ways that I could let let grace in and just be open to the experience. And certainly being in a place like this where my path is valued on so many levels has given me the opportunity to explore my faith. Do either of you want to talk on that?
For the longest time, I didn't refuse to believe. I knew there was a God, but I felt he made a mistake. And with being taught that God is flawless, then I started, my faith wavered until I learned to accept myself and found this church, and it started coming back.
We're going to move out into the Kate Worker Room, and we're going to do some activities on gender, and on we're going to have a discussion on how to support people through transition, people you care about. So we'll just take a little 5-minute break and regroup out in the Kate Worker Room. Everybody, for coming today. I'm going to introduce Robin Carolyn Montague, who is the Executive Director of Transhaven. She is the co-founder of Transhaven, a strong advocate and ally for the trans community. She is our guest speaker this evening, and she's going to talk with us about the Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Thank you for coming here today. I remember my transgender brothers and sisters. In 1998, Rita Hester was murdered on the streets of Boston, Massachusetts. Her slaying never solved. In 1999, the first Transgender Day of Remembrance was held to memorialize her and the others slain in the name of hate. Today is the 13th observance of Transgender Day of Remembrance, to hear the names of those we've lost since last November 20th. We think of this senseless violence in terms of despair, as in why we are such victims of such violence. As each day passes us by, we wonder why we are such victims. Is it because we are seen as so different? Is it because we appear to challenge the societal norms? Why are not we just seen as anybody else? What is it that we have done that is so different? I think we had a little discussion in there with our going through the questions. I think you've all seen that we are no different. We that are transgender live in a world of constant change. We live in a world of transphobia, misogyny, misandry, poverty, and racism. Not all can comprehend this change. Some greet it with derision, some with non-acceptance, others with uneducated outrage, others with the violence of hate. Thus, we gather each year in reflection of this despair, a reflection of those that we have lost over the previous year. But really, we are no different. We are human beings. I was thinking about this the other day, and in my advocacy, I also use Facebook. And I put some words of thought out there every so often. And with Transgender Day of Remembrance coming up, everything changes and the way I feel about things. But the biggest thing about being trans is that it's chance. It's not a choice. The hate is silent, but being trans has a voice. We also look at Transgender Day of Remembrance as a sad day, a day of sorrow, remembering those that we have lost. But we also need to look forward so that we look forward towards hope, towards acceptance and love. Acceptance and love will guide us. Rather than the despair which comes from hate, let's look at hope to bring love, to bring acceptance. To my brothers and sisters, we cannot let the violence lend to our silence. We must continue on each day as we can to educate those around us. Only in visibility will we become transparent and seen as that part of the fabric. Those that are older, those that are willing, must become role models for our youth and those that struggle in that transition. And as we transition, we must make a decision as to where we're going. There will be some who will move along into society and others who may decide to stay behind. It's a big decision. But we have people behind us. We need to hold the door open for them. Others, it's just we had this discussion just a few minutes ago. There are some that just want to move on into their lives. That's fully acceptable. Do not deny them that. Do not chastise them for that. That is their decision. But we still need, others may decide to stay back and hold the doors for others and educate others. Such decisions may be hard, but no decision is wrong. It is each one's own to claim. I will reach the nexus of my transition in February, and I've made my decision, and I'm going to stay behind. So when we're out there, and when there is hate, take a pause to reflect it, to help one another understand it, and help one another bring an end to it. I brought three thoughts with me today. Blue is boy, pink is girl, white is transition, or those who don't identify as boy or girl. The first thought I brought with me today is despair. Despair is the violence that comes from hate. Despair is the silence that comes from hate. Despair is the loss of a brother or sister to hate. But I'm not going to share this thought. I'm going to keep this thought. And I'm going to carry it with me until all the hate is gone. My second thought is hope. The hope that there will be no more violence. With the hope that there will be no more silence. And with a hope that there will be no more days of remembrance. I'd like to share my hope. Would someone like to share my hope? My third thought is love and acceptance. With love, there will be no hate. With love, there will be no more violence. With love, I will be with my brothers and sisters, and together we will be accepted. Is there anyone that will take my love and accept me? We often reflect on the good and ills of all around our lives, more often upon the bad. The hate is undeniable, the violence unfathomable, yet hope and love will conquer, and acceptance will someday be with us. Today is one to reflect upon not only of sorrow of those that we have lost, but also of those just emerging from the shadows. Instead of mirrors, let's reflect what one sees out a window. I will remember my trans brothers and sisters.
I want to invite anyone, before we read the names of the persons that you have on your cards, to stand and be heard if there's someone that you personally want to remember who has passed away, who's been part of our brother or sisterhood. You have the opportunity to speak their name and let their spirit be heard today, tonight. Created the symbol, which I'm familiar with, the Orthodox symbol of Christ.
really combined the gender symbols. And right before he was killed, posted most recent copy of a book he was working on his website, transchristians.org. And his book's called Transcendent Christ, Transgender Christians. And I don't know when that website's going to expire. I don't know what's going to happen with all that, but I don't know if I necessarily agree with everything she said, but there's a lot of really great information on there if you're interested.
So now we're going, if you have a name, I'd like you to just stand where you're seated. And we're going to call out the names of the individuals who have been murdered this year. The list is actually much longer than the names that we have here, but we don't have the time to read 222 names of individuals that have been murdered in the last year. So if you can stand, if you have names. Go ahead and read the name, and then Liz will signal their soul with a ringing of the bell.
LaShia McLean, Washington, D.C., shot July 20th, 2011, 23 years old. Gabby Jalisco, Mexico, beaten and burned August 6th, 2011, no age report.
Jessica Roland,
Bergamo,
Italy, strangled.
Carolina Lopez Cruz, Madrid, Spain, was beaten and stabbed on November 4th, 2011. Astrid was 30 years old. Ramazan Setan, in Gaziantep, Turkey, shot to death by her brother on October 6, 2011. She's 24 years old. This trans woman had an accident and was seeking treatment at a local hospital. Her brother found out about the accident, went to the hospital, and shot her to death in front of witnesses. Upon leaving the hospital, he calmly said to the police, "I killed my brother as he was a transvestite. I cleaned my honor."
Daniela Guzman, New York. She was stabbed several times, August 1st, 2011. She was 38 years old. Miss Nate Nate Renee Eugene Davis, Houston, Texas, shot on June 13th, 2011. Nate was 44 years old.
Lady Oscar Martinez Salgado, Tegucigalpa, Honduras, burned and stabbed on December 22nd, 2010. Oscar was 43 years old.
Shakira Arafat, Jakarta, Indonesia, shot March 10, 2011. Shakira was 28 years old. Tyra Trent, Baltimore, Maryland, approximately 23 to 27 years old. Luisa Alvarado Hernandez, Honduras, stone, beaten, and burned. Date of death, December 22nd, 2010. Luisa was 23 years old.
Ida, Istanbul, that's where she's from, was killed by a slip throat July 31st, 2011. Ida was 26 years old. An unidentified male dressed in woman's clothes, Paris, France, stabbed August 24th, 2011. She is estimated to be about 30 years old.
Rihanna Cheo Bustamante, Tegucigalpa, Honduras, multiple stab wounds to the chest, January 2nd, 2011. Adriana Robota Rivela Rodiles, Comiego City, Honduras, slit throat, November 29, 2010. Adriana was 58 years old.
Fergie Alice Ferg, San Pedro Sula, Honduras, shot multiple times in the head and chest on January 18, 2011. There was no age reported. Marcel Cameron Ty, Forest City, Arkansas, shot and dragged March the 8th, 2011. Markel was 25 years old.
I'm going to light this candle in remembrance of everyone who has been murdered for being who they are. But I'm also going to light it as a personal light to know that I can be a beacon of support and love for my trans brothers and sisters. On this somber occasion, please know that just by being here and wanting to empower and educate yourselves, you've made a powerful social justice statement. And hopefully with all these lights, we can help end the violence against trans people through education and advocacy and love. And I appreciate everybody's love and energy in coming tonight. Group, we can go and make this place of worship, a place that's welcoming to all people by making a safe space in the restroom for people of all genders. That's something forward-looking and proactive that we can do right here, right now. And you can move forward with your education and your personal narratives and show love and support for trans people that might come in your path. Thank you.
we all went over to the bathrooms. We got a placard put on it. It's a proactive statement to be a really welcoming congregation for everybody.